Howdy, folks. Welcome to Lords of Order, episode 147 of the show. For those of you new here, Lords of Order is a DC Dr. Fate fan podcast. I am the host of Lords of Order. My name is Ed Moore. And beware, here on Lords of... I'll quit saying the name of the show. Sorry. Beware, there will be spoilers for the book that I'm going to be talking about. But first, if you want to get in touch, you can email me at the Dr. Fate Fan Podcast at gmail.com. You can go to the website where I post the episodes, bigtimenoise.com/Dr. Fate. If you're looking for me on Twitter, that would be under Teal Productions, T-E-A-L, like the color. And on Facebook, Teal Productions and Lords of Order both have pages. You can leave comments there. Now, I'm looking at All-Star Comics, the 1976 volume, issue number 68. And I say that because it started in 1940, went for 57 issues, changed its name to All-Star Western. And then in 1976, they picked it up with issue 58 and kept going to 72 or 73, something like that, issues. So that's why I say it like that. It's the continuation in 1976 of the 1940 volume. And I do all that rather than saying volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because whatever. A lot of times when you look at the actual indicia in the book, you don't see volume numbers. You only see what year. So if you know what year the book started, you can kind of figure out which volume it supposedly is, right? So that's what I have to do with all of my comic book collecting, because I don't trust volume numbers, and they seldom will put it. If I can't match up a cover to a cover for the book I'm looking for, I try to remember what years the issues I'm looking for should have come out in. So we have the cover. We will start there. Looking at the cover, that was done for us by Al Milgrom and Jack Abel, penciled and inked, colored by Tatiana Wood, and lettered by Gaspar Saladino, they think, they being the Grand Comic Book Database. And on the cover, we have an image of, let me flip my book open here, of the Big Green Beasties, and that's the wrong book, so hold on. We have an image of Green Lantern. Behind him is the Psycho Pirate. Green Lantern is hammering Star-Spangled Kid, Hawkman, Dr. Fate, and Power Girl away with a barrage from his Green Lantern ring. We also see by the bar over here on the side that the Flash and... let's see who's not on the cover. The Flash, Wildcat, and Hawkman are also included inside. We're told, "Divided we stand as GL attacks the JSA and... you could be in the Superman movie. Details inside," the book tells us. Now, inside, this is written for us by Paul Levitz, penciled by Joe Staton, inked by Bob Layton, colored by Liz Berube, lettered by folks unknown. If you are looking for the book, you can find it reprinted in Justice Society issue number 2 from 2006, Showcase Presents All-Star Comics, issue number 1 from 2011, and All-Star Comics Only Legends Live Forever from 2019. Inside is Dr. Fate, cross-legged, hovering, staring at a see-through ball. I don't know if it's actually made of crystal or if it's all a construct of his magic, but he's looking at some sort of scrying device floating in the air with his cape trailing above him. Like, it's all weightless, and he's, in one of the rooms of the lower levels of the Brownstone, where the JSA headquarter at, and showing up is the Flash, Wildcat, and Power Girl, as well as Star-Spangled Kid and Hawkman, we see here several panels later, and they're giving Dr. Fate grief, because he ran out on him and said he had, you know, some big cosmic baddie to fight, and yet he's back already, and they have some back and forth. Flash is kind of a little acting out of character, but then honestly, so is Hawkman. Power Girl jumps on him verbally here a little bit, but to no avail. It stops the argument, but Dr. Fate steps up and says, "Though I fear it will not set your minds to rest, I have found our absent comrade Green Lantern, and he is no longer our comrade." And Fate directs them to look into the crystal ball, and the narrator tells us, "The facts Dr. Fate has discovered are not new to us readers. These are things that have been going on since issue 64, I think, is where Green Lantern first kind of went unhinged. So we move ahead of our heroes to Gotham International Airport. Gotham International Airport. Right? You know that song? Where the big jet engines roar. Yeah, sorry for my singing. Concorde SST flight is coming in for a landing. Many of the passengers choose this flight for the unique distinction it affords, but no one anticipated just how unique it would be. And we zoom in to a smoking portion of the airport. We see from the circling SST as it's coming in for a landing. And we see that the smoke is being caused by destruction that is being caused by Green Lantern as he's tearing up the runway with a big emerald shovel here. He's digging at it like one of the little yellow shovels you dig sand with, you know, on the beach. Only his is really big, no pun intended, and not in a sexy way. And green, because it's being powered by his willpower through his ring. He is just going on and on and on about how he has done so much for Gotham, and in return, they bankrupted him. And he lost Gotham Broadcasting, which we saw starting in issue 64, which we did not cover because there was no Dr. Fate present. But that is where Alan Scott first started getting word of his dire financial problems. 65 and 66, we saw him lose the studio. 67, we saw him go in and trash the studio under the control of Psycho Pirate. Definitely in 67. I don't remember when I flipped through 64 and 65 when I saw Psycho Pirate controlling Green Lantern, if it was in one of those issues, but definitely we saw it last issue, right? Last issue, 67? Yeah, last episode. So he is, Psycho Pirate has pushed him to where he is feeling the certain kind of way that causes him to act like this. Ultimately, he creates a big microphone, and it's a very telling microphone because it's not something you would see today. It looks more like the 1940s stand-up microphone where they used to do radio plays and radio reenactments. You would recognize the style if you saw it, but it's funny that Green Lantern Alan Scott is a Golden Age hero, and so when he summons up a microphone to speak, it doesn't look like a microphone from 1976. It looks like something that he would have seen in the 30s and 40s when he was growing up. So that, to him, is a microphone. Attention airport personnel, this is Green Lantern. If you want your precious planes to be able to land, listen closely. I want $1 million in cash, and if I don't get it, you'll have $10 million worth of damage faster than you can spell Idi Amin. Interesting reference. Kind of dates the book. The amplified announcement is loud enough to be heard throughout the airport, but more surprisingly, its echoes will be felt half a world away at the DF Milan Airport, some 12 miles east of Cape Town, South Africa. Now, that's not entirely true. Our man and Dick Grayson are getting ready to board a plane in South Africa to head to New York. That's what's going on here. They have no idea about what Green Lantern is doing until they get to the airport in New York. So it's not going to echo half a world away because here in Cape Town, they're clueless as to what he's doing. So I don't know why it's written that way. That's not what happens. But we have a scene here between an Hour Man that is trying to recover from the life-affirming surgery that he recently had. Dick Grayson is with him, going to accompany him back to the U.S. Grayson right now is the current U.S. ambassador to South Africa. So he is leaving South Africa for a trip back home, and he is accompanying Hour Man. Plus, he is going to speak to Bruce Wayne about some missives that have been passed recently between Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne about the fact that Bruce wants to bring the entire Justice Society in for questioning about the fact that several of their members have been acting pretty wonky, i.e. Green Lantern here just a half a page ago. That kind of stuff that's been going on. So that's Bruce and Dick are getting stuff together to try to bring everybody in to question them. They board the plane. We cut back to the New York airport, which is, what would that be? Would that be LaGuardia, I guess? airport. But no, they're not in New York. They're in Gotham. I'm sorry. This is in Gotham because that's where Green Lantern is based. And that's where Bruce is police commissioner. So that's where Dick and Hourman are coming to Gotham. Although, again, I thought the headquarters of the JSA were in New York. Maybe I need to let that go. Maybe it's not in New York anymore. I guess it could be in Gotham. I'm not sure. But this is Gotham Airport being torn up by Green Lantern. We see Dr. Fate, Power Girl, Star Spangled Kid arrive. Who else? Hawkman is here and the Flash is here. They're taking care of the innocents, that the bystanders that have been caught up in what's going on. Whereas Dr. Fate, Star Spangled Kid, and Power Girl attack Green Lantern straight on. Now, as he's coming in, Dr. Fate attacks Green Lantern with his Star of David spell. And I say that because whatever he's doing is emitting from his hand via images of repeated Star of David symbols as they're flying out of his hand and attacking Alan Scott, Green Lantern. Is Alan Scott Jewish? Didn't it come out somewhere that he was a Jewish hero? And he's being attacked by Stars of David from Dr. Fate? If that's the case, that's kind of interesting. Interesting call. The Stars of David assemble themselves around Green Lantern like some kind of little personal prison. But he creates a double screw vise. You know, they screw, they're attached in the center. And the two arms screw opposite each other and screw out of the center and spread, some kind of spreader. And he uses that to break out of the prison. That's kind of a cool effect there, I like. As I said, Hawkman and Flash are running around saving people from the different planes and the different areas of the airport that have been trashed and everything like this. Now the plane that Dick Grayson and Hourman on come into view, and they are persuaded to land somewhere else. I don't know if it's another part of the airport or if Hawkman is telling them to go to the next stop. You know, and we hear about stuff like that all the time with weather and things like that, how planes are made to land elsewhere than their original target. That's what Hawkman is attempting to do, also with the help of Star Spangled Kid, who has now flown up and is using his powers, his star-spawned or gravitic powers to form signs directing the planes as where to go, leaving just Dr. Fate and Power Girl down on the ground to fight Green Lantern. Green Lantern, Power Girl rushes ahead to try to get Green Lantern physically, but he coalesces a pair of like caliper pincers and tries to hold Power Girl. She breaks out of him, getting his attention enough that just as Dr. Fate is about to attack him, Psycho Pirate does something and causes Alan Scott to suddenly be afraid. And so his emotional jumpings back and forth as Power Girl and Dr. Fate are witnessing kind of throws them off for a minute, but not long enough for Green Lantern to actually succeed in attacking Fate. He kind of throws him off, and then Psycho Pirate switches, and Alan Scott, Green Lantern, becomes more angry and attacks with a Green Lantern-powered... looks like he's shooting at him with some sort of automatic, like a Tommy gun or something like that, but it doesn't have the big round casing. It's got the long rectangular clip that fits in the bottom of the gun, and he's shooting Dr. Fate. Onks up a big shield protecting he and Power Girl, although I don't think it really needs to protect Power Girl. They finally see off to the side here that it is Psycho Pirate, and they put together that he is the one probably doing something, not Green Lantern himself. Dr. Fate then attempts to attack Psycho Pirate, but Green Lantern diverts the magic spell, and it ultimately hits Power Girl. Green Lantern then takes out Dr. Fate, as he is more concerned with the Power Girl that he just knocked out. So they're both down, and Psycho Pirate directs Green Lantern to sweep him up in a big chariot and carry him off, leaving Power Girl and Dr. Fate prone on the tarmac. Some point in the future, we have a meeting at the airport with Bruce Wayne, who finally welcomes Dick Grayson back, and they have Hourman, what is Hourman's name? Rex Tyler. They have him along with them for the ride, and it allows Bruce to elucidate to Dick Grayson and tell the entire story to Hourman as to what is going on and what Bruce needs. So we cut, let's see what this contest is for Superman. Two first prizes, a role in the upcoming Superman movie, plus an expense paid trip to visit the offices of DC Comics. That's the two sets of those for grand prize. And then 5,000 secret prizes, which are choices of Secret Origins of DC Superheroes, the book, copies of the upcoming Warner paperback novels of Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. Now, I don't know if each is a novel or if the novel has all three. A year's subscription to the Amazing World of DC Comics. Copies of the all-new Superman vs. Wonder Woman, Superman vs. Muhammad Ali, and Legion of Superheroes supersized comics. I would go for the Superman vs. Muhammad Ali there, as I know in the future how much that'll be worth. Tickets to Superman movie reviews. Enter today. Watch for contest coupons in this month's DC Comics. All entries must be received received before July 15, 1977. Well, it's not going to matter to us then. Simply collect the coupons found at the bottom of most DC Comics letter pages dated August, September, two different months, and then the combined August, September, and the combined September, October. Collect the appropriate coupons when which collected in order. Spell out Superman and either Kal-El or Clark. So you need Superman Kal-El or Superman Clark. All of the coupons that show those names, and then you bundle them all together and mail them off and all this other kind of stuff, the rest of the instructions. So that's all. But again, it doesn't matter because 77 was the date. So it's 40 to 35 years. Yeah. So sorry. I know I got everybody into that. I was into that, but it's too late. All right. So we go to the hidden headquarters of the Psycho Pirate, and he's watching on view screens. He's watching. Let's see. I think he's watching the JSA meeting here. They're all meeting at a big table. There's two, four, six of them. And he's watching the meeting of Bruce Wayne, Dick Grayson, and Hourman on the tarmac at the airport. So that's interesting. He has video feeds of both of those locations in his headquarters, which is, no, that would be telling. I'll tell you in a little bit. It's kind of cool. So I don't know how he's managed to do that, but he's keeping track of what everyone's doing. So at the meeting of the JSA, it is Power Girl, Star Spangled Kid, Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Flash, and Wildcat. Wildcat is acting much as others have been acting, I think, out of character. More than likely, that is because of the storyline. Some aspect of it may be due to writing as well, because I think that it's going to turn out that Wildcat wasn't one of the affected people. So he's acting out of character because he's being written poorly, is what it amounts to. I think we're going to find out that Green Lantern and another hero in this meeting are the ones that Psycho Pirate has compromised. But right now it's Wildcat. Everybody is saying, well, you know, we looked for Green Lantern and we can't find him. So, you know, so what? We'll just wait and we'll do what we're supposed to do until he pops up again, yada yada. We get another line on him, you know. Wildcat is like, what? No, we have to keep hammering away and digging until we find out where he is, because he's our friend and he needs our help. And everybody else is like, Wildcat, look, there's nothing we can do. And it goes back and forth until finally Flash and Wildcat square off against each other. Power Girl jumps in between them, and Flash says, oh, forget all y'all, I'm out of here. And he whooshes away with a scattering of the papers that are on the meeting table that they're at. Power Girl rushes out to try to stop him, track him down, follow him, something. But he is moving so quickly that she just immediately, as she exits the brownstone, which looks in pretty decent repair here for the above street portion, she just loses him. She doesn't know where he went or anything. Dr. Fate comes out and says, I bet you lost him, didn't you? And she's like, well, yeah, you know, she goes all, I am girl, hear me roar. And Dr. Fate's like, no, that's not the point. The point is, I think he changed dimensions. So everybody's like, what? Changed it? Yeah. Basically, Dr. Fate is saying, yeah, I think he crossed over from Earth 2 to Earth 1. And that's why you can't see him, because he's not in our dimension anymore. We cut to the Psycho Pirate's headquarters, and we see the Flash kind of phasing in, and sure enough, it is a different dimension because the Psycho Pirates' headquarters are on Earth 1. We have been following the adventures of heroes on Earth 2. So now in the headquarters is Psycho Pirate, Alan Scott Green Lantern, and Flash, again, named Jake Garrick, I think, was the first Golden Age Flash. If not, sue me. I'm not going to look it up. The Flash, Green Lantern, Golden Age, and Psycho Pirate here. And bah-ha-ha-ha, we have formed a new team. But no sooner do they do that, that with a big choom, a whole portion of the wall of the headquarters of Psycho Pirate is blown out. Because Star-Spangled Kid is leading the charge, which is Dr. Fate, Power Girl, Wildcat, and Hawkman behind him. So they are attacking Psycho Pirate, Green Lantern, and Flash in Psycho Pirate's headquarters on Earth 1. So we have some fighty-fighty, attacky-tacky here. Dr. Fate going up against Green Lantern, which is honestly the only way it could go if the JSA expects to win, because Dr. Fate could hold his own. Power Girl and Flash are running around because she is as fast as he is. They go rushing down the hall and she is right behind him. He stops short because he has that kind of control. She does not, crashes into the wall and knocks her full self out. She's laying here on the floor. He says, Flash says, I've had the practice to stop in a nanosecond and avoid crashes, and it'll take years for you to get that good if you live that long. So he puts one over on the I Am Girl, Hear Me Roar. Green Lantern and Dr. Fate now are fighting magical sword, magical construct, sword and shield. They're fighting, and like both the shield and the sword are like 1990s huge. Even though this is 1976, you guys will know what I'm referencing. Fighting, talking, distracting, Green Lantern summons a second sword and knocks Dr. Fate with the bottom of the hilt, the pommel of the sword, knocking him out. Meanwhile, over here, Psycho Pirate has Star-Spangled Kid and Hawkman in such trepidatious fear that they have fallen to their knees, leaning on the floor, hands over their head, eyes, ears covered, crying, bemoaning how frightened they are. Green Lantern and Flash runs up and knocks them both out with a big backhand fisticuff to the head. Final scene starts. Green Lantern, Psycho Pirate, and Flash over here. Hawkman, Star-Spangled Kid, Power Girl, Dr. Fate on the floor in between. And on the far side where they busted a hole in the wall, walking in now, is Wildcat. Wildcat calls out, no, you guys stay back, Green Lantern and Flash. I want him, Psycho Pirate. So he calls out Psycho Pirate. Psycho Pirate's like, I got this, boys. And he walks up. He's got powers. Wildcat doesn't have powers. This is going to be a no-brainer. So he hits Wildcat with the fear face. And it's cool because it's two panels, thin panels. Psycho Pirate's whole face and head between the two of them, but one half of his face is covered with his hand, and the other half of his face has this immense fear face. The same thing he did to Hawkman and Star-Spangled Kid a minute ago. But somehow, the former heavyweight champion is unaffected, fearlessly charging forward and ending the bout with a single blow. Massive fist to the face, knocking out Psycho Pirate. And Wildcat says, sorry, Pirate, but I always follow some advice that my coach gave me years ago. Don't look at your opponent if you're scared of him. Just come out slugging. So, as he approached Psycho Pirate, I don't know where he was looking. Down at Psycho Pirate's navel. You know, I don't know what he was gazing at. Get it? Navel gazing. Yeah. Anyways. But Wildcat didn't look him in the eye. Now, boys, are you going to come? And before he can even finish, Flash and Green Lantern collapse like puppets whose strings have been cut. They just bleh. Well, I'll be. They just collapsed. When I KO'd the Pirate, it must have freed Dem from his control, and the shock was too much to take. Kind of sounded like Yancey Streeters or something, Wildcat. I didn't know. I've not noticed that he speaks like that, so it must be, I don't know. Anyways, Epilogue 1, the JLA satellite headquarters of Earth 1. And we have Green Lantern of Earth 1 and 2 and Dr. Fate here talking about cools, you know, just a JLA, JSA kind of thing. Epilogue 2, we are at, looks like maybe Bruce Wayne's office as police commissioner, and it's Bruce and Dick and Hourman sitting back here on the couch, and there are two or three shadows that Bruce Wayne is talking to, and we're told, plans we shall learn more of next issue when United We Fall, featuring five fabulous guest stars. So that will be All-Star Comics issue 69, but we have 2 months of book to talk about before that. That will be our December issue, because between 68 and 69, we have the annual JLA-JSA crossover, this one entitled Crisis in the 30th Century, which begins in Justice League 147, continues and concludes in issue 148. So those will be our next two episodes, with the final episode of 2024 being my thoughts on All-Star Comics issue number 68, which also will be, conveniently, episode 150 of the show. So that gives you 3 months-ish of planning to wish me happy anniversary and send me whatever gifts you want to for the anniversary. I will play them and discuss them and talk about them on the air. I know I'm not going to get anything. I'm just messing with you guys. But nonetheless, Justice League of America, the 1960 volume, issue number 147, will be the next book that I read and talk at you about. Until next time, guys, ciao.